Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know why this speaker continues to disappear. Hold on just a second. What I thought happened. What is it named? I guess one day I'm going to have to get a new computer. Okay. I don't know where this is. Okay, so I can't hear you. Let me plug in my headset. Because my Bluetooth speaker is not working, not picking up. One second. Okay, if you could say something for me there. I can't. Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and get started this morning. We are going to be continuing in this lesson on discipleship, and we're looking at the characteristics of the fisherman. And so, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then go ahead and get into this lesson, praying and get into it. I want to welcome everybody in Power Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, communist bloc countries. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. Let me have the ladies cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads and let us go before the Most High with our statement of faith. And we will pray in and get into this lesson. All right. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning. And we lift you up and we magnify your name. For truly, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, Yah Elohim. And so we just love you on this morning, Father. We give you love, we give you love, we give you love, Father. And we bow down and we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep the statutes, your laws, and your commandments, spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that they have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. Turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on today, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, where it is the Shabbat. And we're going to start in verse 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to personalize. So I'm not adding to or taking away from the scripture. I'm just personalizing this because it helps me. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perverse, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carry us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And then let's get John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
without borders. Let me work upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Being in the land of our captivity gives us no excuse not to keep his commandments. As I said, if you go back, you know, the more that I read this and you look at the lives of Daniel or Joseph or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all of the examples that we have, when they were in captivity, they got in trouble for keeping the Most High's commandments, for obeying him and not the law of the land. That we belong to him, then we must keep his commandments. We must teach others to do so. Can't say, well, you know, I hear this too many times from my brothers and sisters who are in this walk. Well, we're not in our own land. And that's not an excuse. That's so that you don't bring any heat on yourself. Because if you teach to keep the commandments of the Most High, which are contrary to the laws of men in a lot of ways, the different standards, then the world is not going to like it, and the land that you're in is not going to like it. I don't care whether it's communist or whether it's democratic. They're not going to like it. And you serve the true and living Elohim, the Elohim of the Bible, that you must keep his commandments, and you must teach men to do so. Can't make an excuse for them not to. Oh, you know, we in America, we can't do that. Oh, you can do it. Do you want to do it? Okay. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's get verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love Yahweh Elohim and keep his charge and his statute and his judgment and his commandments always. Always. So when we say, you know, we keep his commandment, but we don't keep his statute, or we don't keep his judgment, he said, I gave you my spirit that you might keep my judgment to do what I said to do. And as a teacher, as a fisher in Israel, male or female, if you're fishing for souls, you have to do these things. You can't do part of it. But my brothers and sisters, I hear them say it all the time, you know, we keep the commandments. You won't hear them say we keep the statutes. You won't hear them say we keep the judgments. But we keep the commandments. So the Most High wants us to keep it all. If not, then we are not obeying him. We are using him for an identity, but not actually following him. And this is what he has always wanted and what he's going to have. So we have to understand that as a fisher, when you're bringing people into, you know, salvation and you set the expectation, you know, these are the things that we keep. Can't make it, well, you know, when we're in our own land and this is what we do. No, that's not the example that we have in the book. If you go look at, as I said, if you go look at those individuals that I named and any others that are written about, when we are in the land of our captivity, when we're not in our own land, then we were still required to keep the statutes, the judgments, and the commandments of the Most High. And they always got in trouble for doing it. And so we cannot say that we're following and do otherwise. Use it as an excuse not to do. So the righteous teacher is going to teach that to people. You got to keep the commandments. You got to keep the statutes. You got to keep the judgment. When I saw that in Ezekiel, and the Most High was talking about giving people his spirit, it was forefathers would not do. They would not keep his judgment. They went about to establish their own judgment in a given situation. Anything that the Most High has already spoken on, anything that he has already rendered a judgment on, you can't overrule him. You can't stop him. You can't appeal above him. And so we'll look at a situation and we'll say, well, we're in the land of our captivity and we can't do that. The Most High says, I never gave you authority to overrule me. or to ignore me. You're supposed to do this with your whole heart. That's what sets us apart or supposed to set us apart from the world. So we just need to come real with him. And if it costs us our life, it costs us our life. We know that we will get eternal life with him for being obedient. And when he resurrects us, he'll say, oh, you died because you were keeping my laws. You were keeping my commandments. You were keeping my judgment. You died for my word. You are worthy to rule with me because you were willing to give your life to me that way. You've proven yourself. You're not subject to the second death. So we don't want to teach and break even the least of the commandments and then teach other people to do so. You know, the way it sounds, you might make it into the kingdom. You might make, you know, I don't know what condition, but he says you will be the least in the kingdom, whatever that is. But if you teach men to do, if you do them and teach men to do them, then you shall be great in the kingdom. You got to keep his statutes and his judgments with that as well. So if the Most High says, you know what, the penalty for this offense, my judgment is this, he never gave us the authority to change. And we might think, oh, you know, Most High, you're too strict. As I said last night, our forefathers said, Most High, your ways are not fair. The Most High said, those are my ways, and my ways are fair. My ways are righteous. So we have to be that people who do them. Or really, we're just going through the motions. And we're teaching other people to go through the motions. To John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Because if you're going to be a fisher of men, mankind, then you have to know to love the Most High is to keep his commandments. But by this do I know that you love me, that you keep my commandments. It's not just the commandments, my statutes, my ordinances, my laws, my judgment. We want to take part of it and do that. Oh, yeah, we'll keep Sabbath. Oh, we'll keep the feast days. We'll fast here and there. But when it comes to if we break his laws and his judgment calls for whatever, we don't want to do that. And it's what he said, I'm going to give you my spirit to do that, that you would keep my judgment. So everybody has to ask themselves that question. Because other than that, then we are really, as I said, going through the motions. And we're not really being a righteous saint or a righteous fisherman. You know, you're giving people the gospel. Come. And I said, you need to set the correct expectation. This is what you're coming into. I think the problem is a lot of the time most of us didn't know what we were coming into. So how can we set the expectation for someone else? You know, you just want to get out of that sin. Well, it's not just that. So when we don't know, we can't tell anybody. And when we've been taught, you know, to, as I said, to tell people this is how you get saved, this is the good news, and this is how you get from under the wrath of the Most High, most of the time it is not the complete story. And if they're meant for the Most High, they will come. If they're not meant for him, they won't come. He will pull them. He will unction them. He will still keep sending people to them if they're meant for him. But we want people to come in spirit and in truth. And sometimes, as I said, you know, it takes us some time to learn the truth, to learn truly what's expected. So if you love me, that's a conditional, if you love me. Don't say you love me and then don't keep my commandments. Because Messiah said, how do you say you love me and do not what I tell you to do? So when you are giving people the good news and when you're fishing for them, they might say, well, hey, what's it going to take? You're going to need complete obedience to the Most High. Can't play with it. Can't say, oh, the Most High knows we're human. Yeah, he knows we're human. He knew that when he told us to be perfect. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. He knew we were human. We want to act like that's some big revelation. I knew that when he told us. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. It wasn't a revelation to him that we were human. And so you have to tell him, you're going to have to learn how to be perfect in the eyes of the Most High. And the thing is that it's not hard to do. It's just things that we don't want to stop doing. Situations that we are in, we don't want to, we want to compromise in the situation. We want to, you know, well, I'm in the world and I'm in the land of my captivity and they, you know, they make me work. Sometimes you just got to go and say, hey, I'm not doing this job. Or I compromise it in a way that, you know, let me find somebody that worships on Sunday. Let me trade with them. I'll take every one of your Sundays. You take every one of my Saturdays. Because if they love the Most High that much, if they want to attend church every Sunday, they'll make that trade. There are Sunday worshipers that are committed that way. I know when I was a Sunday worshiper, I was. So if you were going to come to me and say, hey, I keep Sabbath and I wasn't keeping Sabbath, and we're in a job that we can either work Saturday or Sunday, and you're willing to take my Sunday, and I'll take your Saturday. When I first went to Amazon, I had to do that. And actually, it actually worked out better than that because the way they switched our shifts, you work from Sunday to Wednesday and from Thursday to Saturday. Yeah. And, you know, make sure that worked. I found somebody that wanted to go to church. All right, so you take this shift and I'll take that one. So, you know, you have to do it. And then, you know, learning the law. When you go for a job, you can present to them Title VII. Of the Civil Rights Act and say, hey, I don't work on these days ahead of time. As part of, you know, this is one of the things that we don't realize if we work, that when you go to work for somebody, it is really a contract. And you don't have to accept the terms of the contract. You can say, okay, I need the contract modified this way. You take off these days, the holidays. But those are not actually holidays for me. I don't observe or celebrate those things. But these are the holidays that I celebrate and the day of the week that I need off. And according to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, you can accommodate me. If it's not going to bring the business to a halt, a stop, then by law you have to accommodate me. Now, they may or may not hire you. But if you make it known up front, then at least they know. You're not hitting them after the fact saying, oh, well, yeah, I keep Sabbath, so I need this off. Well, it's part of your contract. We have people that cover Sunday, and we have people that cover Saturday. Up front, you say you want to cover Sunday, and you want to be covered on Saturday, Sabbath. And if they are trying to be fair at all, they will accommodate it. You have to ask. You have to be educated about the law of the land. But, you know, we think it's just, you know, a privilege. You know, if they want to give it to me, no, it's the law. And they have to show that they cannot accommodate you. And if they can't accommodate you, then they can't accommodate you. Then you got a choice. Either work it or find another job. So we got to understand that so that we can keep his commandments. To 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of Elohim, the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's his love. You know, so many people, when I went into the series about brotherly love and godly love, that series upset a lot of people. Because a lot of people want to buy into brotherly love. But the Most High has shown us his love by giving us his commandments. This is how I love you. I'm going to show you my heart. This is my heart. That you obey me. That you keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous to you. It's not a hard thing for you to do. That you don't make it difficult for yourself by not wanting to do them. This is love. You love me. Keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. My judgments are not grievous. See, we think that we're supposed to put up with a lot of things, and we're supposed to be all loving and all forgiving. Okay. Depends upon what somebody does. You know, the Most High says, Messiah said, forgive 70 times. I said, they sin against you. But he don't say that's how he forgives. He says, if you willfully disobey me, then this is a penalty. But as far as treating each other, we want to mix how we treat each other with how we serve him. It doesn't work that way. He is much higher than we are. We can't, so he says, you know, how are you going to say you love me who you cannot see? And hate your brother who you can see. You're a physical being. You can see your brother or your sister. Be more tolerant of them. But that's not the Most High standard. I'm going to forgive you, and I will have mercy on you. As long as you're not willfully disobeying me. You know, it's like a parent. We, you know, when our children disobey us, obeying us, and it's not something that we have taught them, you know, we don't really have a right to be truly angry. Because how did they really disobey? You never told them. But once you tell them, then you expect that they're going to do what you say do. And if they intentionally disobey, we go to a whole nother level. And we know it's true. If we got children and we deal with them, we know it's true. I told you not to do that, and you're going to do it anyway. But when it comes to the Most High, we feel like he's got to be, you know, all forgiving, all merciful, no matter how many times you mess up, even if it's intentional. So, not me. And you got to teach people the truth about that. Most of us says, you willfully disobey me, or we're going to take this to a whole nother level. Just like we do as parents. Can't stand for our children to willfully disobey us. But somehow, when it comes to the Most High in us, we figure that, hey, he's got to have, you know, he's above us, so he should be more forgiving. He's like, I'm less tolerant than you are. When it comes to that. And, you know, disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. and suffer not a whit to be among you. That was a killing offense to practice witchcraft. But when it comes to us and our walk, and when we're bringing people into this, you know, we're trying to paint the Most High as someone soft, when he is the exact opposite of that. He's loving and he's kind and he's merciful and he has mercy. His mercies begin every day, as long as you're doing something ignorant, to a whole nother level when you willfully disobey him. But we have to tell people that you can't come into this, and you got to consider the cost. If you agree to this, you can't willfully disobey him. You can't knowingly disobey him. You know this is wrong. You're going to do it anyway. And it's at the same time that you serve him and you love him. It doesn't work for him. It doesn't work for him. And so we have to tell people that. And that we happily do these things. We're not sorry to keep his Sabbath or his feast days or his laws, his commandments. We're not sorry to keep his judgment. You truly have to get to that place. If I do something worthy of death, that's what he calls for. See, we will wear this thing. I look up to the Muslim countries a lot of times. Because they will do what Allah tells them to do. And if you disrespect Allah, they will be on you. If you disrespect Muhammad, they will be on you. Now, when I found in the scripture that the Most High says, if anybody disrespects them, they were supposed to die. That's the mentality we were supposed to have. We don't have it. As Christians, we don't have it. Because we were never told that. I was never told that. Until I read it, I was never told that. But it's there. And that mentality that we're supposed to have is there. So the Muslims can do it with their God. But if our God requires it, no. Most High, you don't really mean that. You don't really mean that. It ain't that serious. It should not be a burden to you. Because sin, unchecked, will leaven the whole lump. A little bit of sin leavens the whole lump. The whole group. The whole population. The whole nation. That's why the Most High's ways are the way that they are. He says, no, you can't put up with that. You have to cut that out. You have to get rid of that. And if somebody does it presumptuously, then you need to get rid of it so that don't nobody else get presumptuous. We are in the New Testament. It didn't change. Because we are not in our own land, it didn't change. Our children run amok. Because they really have no fear, and they feel like they get grown, they can do whatever they want to do. Because we don't have the standard of the Most High. We say we serve him, but we don't keep his standard. So they have no fear of him. They have no true fear of him. They have no true fear of us. Because if you do what the scriptures say to do, if you do what the Most High says to do, they will try to get you for what? Child abuse? Be willing to pay that price to enforce his standard. I remember when my son was, he was probably 11 or 12 years old, called himself throwing a fit and ripped the sliding door off the van. And I went and got a switch off that tree and I tore his behind up. He went to school. The nurse was like, how'd you get those marks? He said, my daddy did it. They come to the house. I was actually at work. My wife handled it. And, you know, I told her, I said, hey, I'm not backing down. He did this, yeah, I whipped his behind. With this whip. And I bet he won't do it again. And they were going to want to come and charge me with child abuse. But then I think my wife said something like that our son didn't obey right and that, you know, he was not supposed to leave out of the front yard. And he said he didn't. But then when the woman came up, she saw him coming from the park. So she's like, well, you know, your son don't really have no credibility. So she let it go. But, you know, if I had been here, I'd be like, yeah, I tore his behind up and we'll do it again. Because, you know, if we don't discipline our children, the state will. And that's what they want. They want us to, they want to be able to discipline our children, don't want us to be able to. So they want to set a standard for our children. And the world's standard is not the same as the Most High standard. But you've got to be willing to pay the consequence of that if it should come up. For the Most High deliver you out of it. But this is the standard we live by. I don't mix the world with the Most High. And a lot of people don't like that. My children definitely didn't like it. A lot of my relatives, oh, you can't do that. You can't say, oh, yes, I can, and I will. Because I'm not just talking this. So if you're going to bring them into it, you got to set the correct expectation. You know, once your kids get grown, you've done the best that you could do. And perhaps if they leave high, they will return unto him. But the bottom line is you can't save your children. You have to save yourself. So we have to show our love for Elohim. Who do you love more? Yourself? Your husband or your wife? Your children? Or the Most High? As far as he's concerned, he said, hey, you got to love me more than you love anybody else, including yourself. Can we grab that and take hold of it? Can you tell somebody else that? But I don't have a problem telling them. And if they run, they run. It ain't about numbers for me. Nobody but myself. I'm accountable for saving myself. I'm accountable to teach the truth of the scripture. So I'm not going to let nobody, the Most I come back to me and say, why did you teach something other than? I'm not going to be afraid of the people because that's usually where it comes from. Every time I see somebody disobedient to the word of the Most High, it's because they either want to be popular with the people or they're afraid of the people. I'm afraid of the Most High, and I want to be popular with the Most High. So I ain't got a problem telling you. I've lost relatives. That mentality, hey, you're my sibling, but you know what? I love you, but you don't trump the Most High. Because I believe what is written. And if this is all that this world has to offer, then I want the world that the Most High says he's free. First John chapter 5, verse 3 again. For this is the love of Elohim. This is his love. that we keep his commandments. Again. Because if we don't keep his commandments, then we are more or less saying we don't love him. I love him, but. No, ain't no but. You don't give a but there. Now, see, we want to but everything. That's that goat spirit. Ain't no but. We either accept that his commandments are not grievous, they're not burdensome, or we don't. You can't straddle the fence with this stuff. A lot of times that's what we want to do. Have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Can't serve two masters. What are you talking about? Is he going to love the one and hate the other? And the Most High says, if you don't obey me, you hate me. He didn't say you. He didn't. Wow. Go to Exodus. And I believe it's 20 is where I want to go. Just hear what he says and believe what he says. Exodus chapter 20. Get verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Let's break this down. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Talking about other gods, images. Nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the fourth, the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. You can't say you love him and then disobey him. You can't say you love him and worship another God. You can't say you love him and be disobedient. You can't say you love him and keep not his commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you hate me. There is no in-between in that. You either love me or you hate me. You're going to love me with your whole heart or you're going to hate me with your whole heart. And we got to understand that and walk in that. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands, not millions, thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to do what I say do. All of what I say do with your whole heart. Can't be straddling the fence kind of way. You don't say, hey, if you disobey me, you're just disobedient. No, you hate me. Because it's something grievous about keeping my commandments. Something you love more than me. Someone you love more than me. You got to set that expectation. And as the righteous teacher, you got to teach that. As the righteous fisherman, you got to teach that. You got to actually fish with that. Everybody ain't going to bite that. Everyone is not going to bite that. So you know if you fish that way and you're looking for numbers, you ain't going to get numbers. If I wanted numbers, I know exactly what to teach and how to present it. God loves you, and he loves you no matter what. And all you got to do is keep trying. Wake up day after day, pray to him and repent, and he will bless you. It don't matter. Oh, you fail and you knew what you were doing. It's all right. He'll forgive you. You just try to do better. I couldn't do that and know that I'm lying to you, but I could have numbers. It ain't about the numbers. about being real. His name is real. You gotta be real with him. You gotta be real with those that you bring in, that you present the gospel to. Don't be trying to trick them or fool them or deceive them. Tell them a half-truth. Tell you about it. Don't be presenting it like, you know, yeah, this is what we got to do. We got to be completely obedient, and it's hard. I struggle with it all the time. Then you ain't committed with your whole heart while you're struggling. Set the expectation. Remember, if you don't keep his commandments with your whole heart, he's saying you don't love me. You hate me. Those are not brother. Those are not Brother Miles' words. That is the Most High himself saying that. So either come real or don't come at all. And that's what you have to, the expectation that you have to set. You know, this is not, you know, if this was the mafia, if this was the mafia, and you were a member of the mafia, you would know that there's no way out of the mafia but feet first. You do something, they come and kill you. You betray them, they come and kill you. You don't fear them, they come and kill you. That's where they got their morals from, the Most High. And if we were like that in the world, we would be faithful to the mafia. And we would fear transgression, doing something to upset them. So we might go for a ride and never come back. But when it comes to the Most High, we got a different standard. But these standards ain't no different. I am the creator of everything. And you will respect me. And you will fear me. If you can't paint that picture to somebody, then you probably should not be sharing the gospel or the word of the Most High. Because people will come in, but they're not going to come in with the correct expectations. They're not going to come in considering the cost. And because we don't enforce the word of the Most High, it appears that the Elohim that we serve is a toothless lion. All growl but no bite. That's how we present him. But that is not him. And many of us are sick. Many of us are going through a lot of things that we don't have to go through because we don't present him the correct way. And we don't take chastisement well. But if you're going to share this with your family, don't just try to share the loving part of Elohim. They will think that's all that he is. When he will go to you if you are disobedient. See, the closer we get, the less tolerant he is of us. Because we should know. We should know. But I am convinced that if we set the correct expectations, we won't have a whole lot of mess kingdom amongst brothers and sisters. Won't just be doing any and everything and getting into situations we ought not get into. Doing things we ought not do. We won't accept these things of our children. We won't accept it of our family. To Psalms chapter 1. The book of Psalms chapter 1. Let's get verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, in the advice of the ungodly. But see, we will take the advice of the world in a heartbeat. And the world is not godly. The world don't, and when I'm saying ungodly, I don't even like saying it like that, even though that's the way it's written. Because you don't know who people are serving and what they're serving. But those that take the counsel against, contrary to the word of the Most High, that type of ungodliness. Because, you know, somebody, you're talking to somebody who worships Satan, that's their God. They serve Buddha or Krishna or whoever. That's their God. They are ungodly. They're not following the Elohim of the Bible. So they say some things that sound good. They have some ways that sound good. They have some practices that sound good. And you might want to include those things in your worship of Elohim. He said, don't do it. For all the things that these nations do, I have already determined to be an abomination. So don't bring anything that they're doing with their Elohim to me. That's why he told our forefathers, hey, when you go into the land, don't even ask the people who their God is and how they serve. At least you got to come and serve me that way. I'm going to tell you exactly how to serve me. Don't add to it or take away from it. Do exactly what I do. But most of that sounds good. What they doing with their, it sounds good. It sounds good to me. Then maybe that's where you should be at, over there. Most of that said, don't bring it to me. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yah. And his law does not, and in his law does he meditate day and night. If you're going to seek counsel from somebody that is worshiping the Most High and meditating in his law day and night, who's not practicing sin, to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. But we got to know that we don't want to seek the counsel from the world. We don't want to seek counsel from those that are practicing sin, those that don't fear the Most High, those that are walking in their own way, those that have their own opinion that are contrary to the Most High. Sound good, too. That's why he says to quote scripture. Satan was using the words of the Most High, but he just changed one little word. He changed the truth into a lie. And if you didn't catch that one little word, you'd have bit that apple too. Ate the fruit of lies that he told. So you want to use the word of God, the word of Elohim. You want to meditate in it day and night. So when it's up, you're going to quote the word of the Most High to somebody, not your own word, not your own opinion. You're not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But my counselor said this. Be tripping me out. People be talking about going to marriage counsel and going to see, you know, the psychologist for this or that concerning our ourselves or our marriage or our children. Why would you go and seek counsel from someone whose life is not based upon the word of the Most High, based upon what psychiatry or psychologists say? You want to get along. See, the problem is that when we don't accept the word of the Most High, then the word of man sounds good. Seems fair. Seems well-rounded. Seems up to date, relevant. Until you find out it don't actually really work. So we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't care how many letters they got behind their degree. If we walk in and we live in the word of the Most High, and we actually do what the word of the Most High says, we won't have those issues. Problem is that we don't be believing the word of the Most High. We don't truly be walking in it. Because, you know, when you're committed and your mind's made up and you're committed to it. Can't be swayed. Well, you know, the world got a new theory on that. Most of the time, I've already judged on that. So you don't go over me. There's somebody that may have an MA, an MS, a PH behind their name, thinking that they know more than me. Because I will use the simplest. Read the all for him. Or you're not for him. You can't pick and choose. And I want to use a little bit of the scripture for this, and I want to use a little bit of science for that. Scripture always trumps everything. The Most High always trumps everything. Can man have some truths and some things that they say? Sure they can. Once it contradicts the word of the Most High, you have to discard it. Yeah, I'll say it. You have to discard it. Sounds good. Everybody's using it and doing it. And for what they're looking for, they appear to be achieving what they want. But the problem is, it's not the mindset that the Most High wants in us. But then it's about pleasing ourselves. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. See, this is how I know that the Most High rejoices when just one save everybody. Everybody is not to be saved. Salvation is open to everyone. But everybody's not going to enter in by this great gate. Everybody's not going to enter in to the narrow gate. 99.9% of people enter into the wide gate that leadeth to destruction. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. We want to win souls to the kingdom, to the Most High. But you can't make it a personal thing either. Because it ain't in your hands. That don't mean that you don't have wisdom if you're teaching them to be righteous, to be lawful, to be fearful. You're not the one doing the saving anyway. It is the Most High. So you just be righteous, and you'll be a tree of life. And anybody that bites of your fruit will get life. If they bite of it. Go to Matthew chapter 5. 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, lawfulness, for they shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled with righteousness. And you won't be self-righteous. You'll be justified by the Most High. Self-righteousness has nothing to do with being right with the Most High, being righteous with the Most High. It's when you say that your ways are right and your thoughts are right and your judgments are right that you are self-righteous. That's what self-righteousness is. My ways are right. My thoughts are right. My judgments are right. My commandments are right. Then you are self-righteous. When you're trying to keep the word of the Most High and you're trying to enforce it, and people want to call you self-righteous, then take that. Because they really don't understand what they're saying. You're not quoting your own commandments, in your own ways. You're not keeping your own law. You're keeping his. People will try to use this type of terminology like you. Well, if it's true, it's true. If you're self-righteous, if you got your own ways and you think that your own ways are right, then you are self-righteous. If you're following the Most High and you're keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, then you are not self-righteous. Your righteousness is declared by the Most High, not yourself. And a lot of times we become afraid of being labeled. Certain labels you should be proud to wear. But holy, daggone right. Wear it with a badge of honor. So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of the Most High. So that's your first commandment. That's your first tenet as a disciple. Seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, not your own. and you won't be self-righteous. This is not my righteousness. This is the righteousness of the Most High. What he says is right, not what I say is right. I say it's right too, but it's not my own thing. Verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. Underline that. Of the Spirit. See, a lot of people will profess these things and have not the Spirit of the Most High. They're trying to do things on their own. They're trying to be loving on their own. They're trying to create their own type of joy, their own type of peace, their own level of long-suffering. Because it's different when it's coming from the Most High. The motivation is different. See, I can say I love you. If I really loved you and you were in sin, I would chastise you. But if I was coming from my own love, you know, you're only human, don't worry about it. You'll get it right one day. That's the love of man, not the love of the Spirit. Different motivation, different focus, different justification. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There ain't no law. I'll tell you how much true love to have for somebody, the love of Elohim. There ain't no law to tell you how much joy to have in Elohim or how much peace to be at with him. If you're doing what he said to do, you're going to be fully at peace. You're going to have joy. You're going to have his love. You're going to understand that your long suffering is for the benefit of someone else. You're not going to be like, whoa, why am I going through this, God? You may be interceding for somebody else. How gentle to be. You're so weak. You can let people walk all over you. You know, the Most High told me to be gentle. Told me to be meek. Told me to be humble. Stop worrying about what people say. Be strong in Yah. And people may see you as being weak. When you come into a conflict between you and your brother, he says, why not for your brother? But you both have that mindset. But if he don't have it, you have it. When I'm saying he, I'm just talking about people. Then you have it. You may not be at the same level as you in their walk. Faith, meekness. Temperance, knowing how far to take something. Because, you know, somebody step on your foot, you know, in a day, you go into a club, somebody step on your foot, somebody want to fight, or somebody gets shot over somebody stepping on their foot. No temperance. No, you know, the standard is, hey, you break my shoes, I take your life. You step on my shiny shoes, I take your life. I give you a beat down, I do whatever. It's the way of the world. The Most High said, when you come at it from the Spirit, when the Spirit is coming through the Spirit, his Spirit, there is no law. There's no limitation. You see, the law says limitation. That's what it does. An eye for an eye. That's a limitation, not an eye for a head. Or an eye for your life. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But when you're coming from the Spirit and you're exhibiting these fruits, there is no law, no limitation. Of how much? So we need to learn that so that we can present it. Now, the Most High is His Spirit. Because, you know, I think one of my pet peeves in this walk has been when I hear people say that they have the Spirit of the Most High, but they don't walk in His Spirit. And they say things that clearly show that, wait a minute, and the Scriptures specifically forbid us to walk after our own mind. You know, you got people that know how to love. You got people that have joy and peace. You got people that have long suffering and they're gentle and they're good. And they have a level of faith. And they can be meek and temperate and still not be filled with the Spirit of the Most High out of pride. And they never truly submitted to Him. They're trying to be good in and of themselves. That you couldn't have those things without His Spirit. But He made it to where nobody could boast, couldn't brag about it, and get around Messiah. But when we have His Spirit, then we know we also have to have these things. Whatever fruit we got. If we got gentleness, then be gentle with our whole heart. If we got long suffering, then be long suffering with your whole heart. If you got peace, then have peace with your whole heart. Do it with your all. There ain't no law against those things. Spirit, He wants you to do it with your whole heart. Don't do it so that you can get something from someone. I'm being kind to you. I'm loving you because I need something. I'm being gentle with you because, I don't know, you might be able to beat my behind if I come the wrong way. No, be gentle because that's the way you are being, that you are. Even to your own hurt, to a fault. And don't worry about what people say. Girl, you a fool. And I'll be a fool. Because there's no limit. And He wants us to do everything with our whole heart. And if you suffer some injustice because you were doing it with your whole heart, He said, suffer it. I'll reward you for it. I'll reward you. James chapter 3. This is the righteous teacher, the righteous fisherman. Characteristics. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. So, you know, the world, they will treat their own better than they will treat someone of another nation. And they'll even treat their own bad, but if you're from another nation, they'll treat you worse. So they'll say it's wrong to do X and then turn around and be a hypocrite and do it to you. Now this word entreated. Let me go get what this word means. easy to entreat, to be entreated. This is the Greek word iopitis from G2095 and G3982. Good for persuasion. Compliance. So be easy to persuade somebody in the word. Not for you to be persuaded to do wickedness, but to persuade people to do good. Let your life reflect that. I want to be like you. I wish I had your persuasion, your way, your tendencies. I ain't never heard you raise your voice. So forth and so on. That's the righteous characteristic of the righteous. Life has to be an example. You have to know the ways of the Most High. Be committed to it with your whole heart. May nothing be more valuable to you than Him and pleasing Him and learning of His ways and projecting Him. Has to be who and what you're about. And if you're not, then you really can't belong to Him. If you're not, then you really are going through the motions. Want to be good, but not to that degree. Because if you're not willing to give your whole heart, you can't be mine. If you love anybody else more than you love me, you can't be mine. If I'm not, and the kingdom is not the most valuable thing in your life, you can't be mine. You can't follow me. That's the right. The lawful. Fisherman. As I said, we're not fishing to consume people. You know, we naturally fish. We catch a fish. We want to eat it. If it's good to eat, we want to eat it. But we are fishers of men, and we're not consuming men, mankind. We pull them up out of the water. We pull them up out of the muck, out of the masses, so that they can see a different way of life. He says, so let your light so shine. You'll be the example, the living example. On this evening, we will get into the characteristics of the wicked fish. The wicked fish, it all hinges on that they will break the least of commandments and teach other people to do also. Okay. God forgive you. He knows your heart. He knows you're only human. He knows you ain't perfect. Not what he wants to do to people. Nowhere will you find in the scripture where the Most High will say, I know you ain't perfect. I know you're human. It's all right. Ain't going to find it. But that human interjection into the nature of the Most High, a human interjection into justification of coming up short. don't want us to come up short. And he don't want us to just run the race to run the race. He says run the race to obtain the prize. First, run the race, because you hear people say it all the time, run the race, just finish the race. Yeah, you want to finish the race, but you don't want to run the race just to finish. If you run in your hardest and you fall and you trip, you get back up and you start running as hard as you were the first time. You got some scars, you got some scrapes, some bumps, some bruises. But I'm going to catch up, and I'm going to come in first. Or I'm going to die trying. That's the mentality he wants you to run the race with. But it says, if you fall down, you have an advocate. Because you ain't going to fall down. Nobody going to intentionally fall down running that hard. You trying to come in first place, and you trip up and fall? That was an accident. You didn't intentionally do that because nobody wants to hit the ground going like that. Nobody wants to slide on their face on the gravel or in the dirt. You don't do that intentionally. And when you get back up, I'm still trying to come in first. May not be possible for me to be the first one across the line, but I'm going to run like I'm A. I'm going to run like I'm trying to come in first. That's what he's saying. So he wants you to do that. And let people see that in you. You know, there's a saying, seek, make cheap. And if you are fishing somebody up out of the water, they should be a good sheep, a good follower of Messiah. That example. And they should be consuming you, not you them. Consuming your love. Consuming your joy, consuming your peace, consuming your gentleness, consuming your long suffering, not the opposite way around. So on this evening, we will look at the wicked, the characteristics of the wicked fisher. We know what to look for and what not to be. And a lot of this is coming from mentality. The Most High has a high standard. He wants you to have a high standard. Perfect. You don't get no higher standard than that. So if you're just looking to be mediocre, if you're just looking to pass, but not be the number one student. Wrong mentality. That is a wrong mentality. The Most High is not looking for mediocre. Let's get this one verse and then we will be done for this morning. Give me a hot second. I think it's in Romans, but I'm not sure. Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 9. Because the winning team, they pass on their winning traits to their teammates, and they expect their teammates to perform at the same level that they perform at. And they may, you know, if they see a person trying, they will encourage them. But if they see them not trying, they won't encourage them. They will chastise them. And they won't want them to be on their team. But it's not really a team thing in the running of your life. But look at what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to be getting verses 24 and 25. But this is the mentality that we have to run the race. Not just simply to stay in the race. It sets the wrong expectation. Chapter 9, verse 24. Know you not that they which run in the race, run all, they give their all, but one receives the prize. Only one runs the race. So run that you may obtain what? The prize. First place. Everybody's running, giving their all. Everybody's trying to come in first place in a race. The way we're supposed to run our lives, run to come in first place, giving your all, doing it with your whole heart. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You're giving your all to when you're running a race in this world, to obtain a corruptible crown, a corruptible title. It's not eternal. It's not forever. But we and incorruptible. So run the race. Give it your all. Run it to come in first place that you might obtain the incorruptible crown, the crown of life, the crown of eternal life in the kingdom with the Most High, and not the crown of eternal life in the fire pit. But he wants you to run it with your whole heart. God never wants us to do anything half-assed. Give me your all. Do it with your whole heart. Make winning that prize the most valuable thing in your life. Gotta get it, gotta get it, gotta get it. That's the mentality he wants us to have with this. So we don't just say, well, you know, at least I stayed in the race. Yeah, you want to stay in the race, but you don't want to have that mentality because how you will run the race. You will run the race that, oh, you know, if I walk a little bit and I run a little bit, it'll be all right. I'm going to make it across the finish line. Not the mentality that the Most High wants. Not the mentality that he wants you passing off to other people. Anybody that you bring in, they're going to come in with the same mentality that you have, because if you in, that's all you got to do. Well, I got to do more. So Paul is not simply stay in the race. He's not saying just simply stay in the race. Everybody's in the race to win. And you should be in the race to win. Running with your whole heart, giving it your all. As the prize is eternal life. The crown you're running for. And if you don't run with your whole heart, according to the word of the Most High, you will not achieve the crown. You will not achieve the prize. See, everybody who runs this race has to come in first place. Because they ran it with their whole heart. It's not really based upon the position you place in the crowd. It's based upon the condition of your heart that you gave your whole heart to it. And you ran it with all your might. You got people that started thousands of years ago. They finished their race. They finished it If they gave their whole heart to it, they achieved the crown. You have to have the same mentality today. I'm going to run this race with my whole heart. I'm going to give it my all. And if I fall down, I'm going to get back up and keep running just as hard. Harder. Because I feel like I fell behind now. That's the mentality that the Most High wants us to protect people. If you are fishing, remember, you're not consuming them. They're going to be consuming you. Because if you start consuming them, you will go back into the world. They're supposed to consume you. And if they're consuming you, and all you are giving is mediocre, I'm just trying to make it in. That's what they're going to consume, and that's what they're going to, the energy they're going to have, and that's the energy they're going to become. I pray this is making sense. Stay from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your day. And I hate when I don't have things queued up the way. There we go.
Forever, sing His praise, which dwelleth in Zion.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to you all. See you guys this evening. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.